Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our assembly this morning. Especially to our visitors, we want to express to you our heartfelt welcome to you and hope that you feel at home and comfortable with us as you worship God with us this morning. For the past couple of Sundays now, we've been engaged in a little study on the subject of preaching. At the moment, congregation here is without a full-time evangelist, but that hasn't slowed us down. We continue to be unified as a group and work together to serve the Lord here and to uphold the truth. But in the meantime, I was asked to do some fill-in preaching by the elders, and I thought it would be a good idea for us to study a little bit from the scriptures what the Lord has to say on that subject, since, you know, preaching is such a big part of the worship on the Lord's Day. We come together and so much of our lives is spent listening to preaching and listening to men present sermons, and so it's something that we all should understand and know a little bit about. And so that's why I'm presenting these lessons to you. So far, we've looked at the need for preaching. Two Sundays ago, we studied from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, where Paul said, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings or bring good news of good things." So we looked at that in the first lesson 2 weeks ago. Last week we considered how to go about developing preachers and teachers in the church. And we saw in the life of the church of Antioch, which we read about in the book of Acts, that through the ministry of certain men who came and planted the gospel in that city and converted not just the Jews but Gentiles as well, they started preaching to the Gentiles, that over time that church grew, and other teachers like Barnabas and Saul came, and of course they were instrumental in God's plan to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. But they were not alone in the work there in Antioch. There were other teachers there in Antioch as well. And so we concluded from that that a church that is growing, that is maturing in the faith, converting people, disciples being added, you know, these teachers and preachers will just develop naturally because God's hand will be in it. It's one of the things that we noted last week, that God's hand was with them in the work that they were doing. And it was God, of course, who was providing that increase. And so that's what we studied about last Sunday. And those two lessons were really kind of general in nature, to try to kind of introduce the topic to you. And I will tell you that, for just to look ahead, you know, I would like to talk to you this morning about the character of a preacher. And so we're going to consider now more specifically a man who has agreed to come and work with the congregation on a full-time basis. And, you know, what should his character be like? What does the Bible say about that? And then next week, we'll look at his work, the work that he does in the church. And then I think maybe just one more lesson talking about the church's obligation to support men to preach the gospel. And I think that would be sufficient to cover the topic, and hopefully will be helpful to you. But today I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the character of preachers. And the things that I'm going to say this morning apply to all of us, of course. I mean, we're all Christians. We're all seeking to do the will of God. And so these things are not particular to preachers. They're meant to be applied by everybody. But it is important for preachers to have a good character. I think it's important for three reasons. Number one, because of the nature of the work, preachers are highly visible members in the church. It doesn't mean that they're better or that they're bigger or more important than the other members. But they stand before the congregation each Lord's Day to proclaim the Word of God. And so they are exposed, if you will, to the people on a regular basis. And so it's important that they show forth a good character, because that will have a good and positive influence on the people in the church. Fairly or unfairly, I don't know, but preachers are more closely scrutinized than some others. Again, because of the nature of their work and what they do and their relationship to the congregation. And so to maintain and foster peaceable relations among the Christians and to avoid conflicts and whatnot, it's just a good idea for a preacher to be of good character, good moral character. Secondly, it will make his work far more effective if he is seen as an example, that the things that he preaches on a regular basis from the Word of God is not something that he just believes in his heart or subscribes to in his mind, but it's something that he lives in his life. No one wants to hear a hypocrite. No one wants to listen to someone who doesn't practice the things that he prescribes that other people do. They want to see him doing those things as well. And so it's very important for that reason. And if he is truly walking in the light and seeking to obey the Lord, that will enhance his preaching. That will make him a better preacher. That will make his work far more effective. And thirdly, and I think this is the most important reason of all, is that preachers need to have a good moral character because if the opposite is true, then that brings shame and reproach upon the name of God. It gives the enemies of God occasion to mock and blaspheme the name of the Lord. And that's not a good thing. And so preachers need to be people who have strong character so that will reflect the right way in the right way upon God and glorify Him. And so that's why I think character is so important. And I think in this text that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 brings to our attention some things that a preacher needs to be and to do if he's to be an effective servant of the Lord. And I want to talk to you about those things a little bit this morning. I think probably the first essential characteristic of any preacher is that he needs to be humble. If he's to be effective working and serving a congregation, he needs to be a humble man. Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus." Notice what he calls him here. A good servant of Christ Jesus. A preacher is a servant. He is not above the congregation. He does not rule over the congregation. He serves the congregation. And for him to be an effective servant, he must have the right attitude, a humble attitude. Humility is an essential characteristic of preaching. The pulpit is not a platform for him to advance his agenda or to promote his vision. It is not a stage for him to perform on. He is not there to present a show or provide entertainment. Preaching is not about making himself good, look good, displaying his knowledge, impressing people with his eloquence. He stands in the pulpit to preach to the needs of the congregation. He steps into the pulpit with a message from God's Word, designed to edify the hearers. His focus must be on them, not himself. He must not be self-centered. He must forget self, deny self, in order to be an effective servant of the Lord. He must not be guilty of pride or arrogance. I think one way in which pride and arrogance can manifest itself in a preacher is having a contentious and argumentative spirit. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome." In the previous verse, he tells young Timothy to avoid foolish and ignorant controversies that breed quarrels. A preacher must not love controversy. I've known some preachers who have. They love to get into debates with other people. They love to argue and quarrel over opinions. They love to argue and debate other preachers. I knew a preacher once who was against Christians participating in the military. That was his position. And he tried to draw this other preacher into a debate. And, you know, they had some email exchanges, and the preacher's son even got involved in this little contest and said something to the effect, to his dad, "Go get him. Go get the preacher who is wrong on this issue." I ask you, is that the attitude of Christ? Is that what we're supposed to do? Go after brethren with whom we disagree? I knew another preacher who had the same position on that question. He thought it was wrong for Christians to serve in the military, and he told me once that, you know, he was planning to preach a lesson on it to the congregation. I advised him not to. What purpose does it serve? Who benefits from it? Does the church benefit from it? Or does the preacher benefit from it? I strongly believe that the pulpit should not be used to advance one's personal opinions. It's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to share an opinion when asked. Unfortunately, some preachers never wait to be asked. They just barrel ahead. But I don't think it's right for a preacher to use the pulpit to advance his opinions or to coerce people to fall in line with his opinions. Brethren are intelligent enough to decide for themselves what they can and cannot do as their conscience dictates. And we should let them do it and leave them alone. I think a lot of harm has been done in the church over the years because preachers could not stay out of controversy, fighting and arguing. and debating. Perhaps some good has been accomplished, and certainly when the truth is on the line, it has to be earnestly contended for and defended. But the spiritual carnage that has resulted from so much of the infighting among us over the years, I don't think has served the cause of Christ very well. And preachers have been at the forefront of that battle. And I think that's a shame. Preachers should not love controversy. Sometimes they may have to deal with a delicate situation, problem of sin in the church. I'm not talking about dealing with matters of discipline and that sort of thing. But I'm talking about these endless arguments that never seem to get resolved over questions about words and matters of opinion, matters of personal judgment that we've argued and argued and argued about. And what has it accomplished? And I think that's what Paul is warning young Timothy here to avoid. To not be engaged in that, but to absorb himself in words of that conform to sound doctrine, and to teach and prescribe those things. And it takes an humble attitude to do that. A preacher would be wise to leave his opinions at home when he stands before God's people, and only speak as the oracles of God. I think some other ways in which a preacher can display a humble attitude is admitting that he doesn't know everything, not being offended when someone disagrees with him, when it's necessary to rebuke someone, doing so in a gentle and gracious spirit, when he's opposed on some vital matter of truth. We're not talking about opinions now. We're not talking about matters of personal judgment. But matters of truth that are clearly taught in Scripture, when he's opposed for preaching those things, even by brethren, he must patiently and gently and kindly correct them. Again, hear what Paul said to the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. You see, it's all about winning souls. It's not about winning arguments. Prideful men want to win arguments. Humble men want to win souls. It's just that simple. So humility is a must-have attitude for a preacher to be effective in his work. I think another essential characteristic of preachers, what makes for a good preacher, is a godly attitude and a godly way of life. That should be obvious. Look at, again, what he says here to the young evangelist in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." Or as ESV says, train yourself for godliness. And so a godly attitude, a godly life, is another essential characteristic of a good preacher. Godliness means reverence for God. It means piety. It means a reverential or worshipful attitude or feeling to God, toward God. To be godly is to have a deep and profound respect for God and His Word. Godliness is someone who seeks God first, who loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is devoted to God. He worships God and serves him only. He places no other gods before him. He doesn't worship idols. He doesn't worship mammon. He doesn't worship himself. He listens to God and he obeys God. David was a godly man. When God sought to replace the unfaithful and disobedient Saul as king, God said about David, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will." Although David didn't write these words in Psalm 42 and verse 1, it certainly describes him. "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God." That is what godliness is all about. It's longing for God. It's thirsting for God. It's seeking God. And that certainly describes David. Now, we know that David was not a perfect man, that he did sin. And the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, the sin of adultery, and the sin of having her husband killed to cover up her pregnancy is certainly a terrible blight on David's record. But even in that, David showed himself to be a godly man, because when the prophet Nathan, whom God had sent, confronted him with his sin, he repented of it. He showed that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And he sought God's forgiveness. And yes, he did suffer for it, for what he did, but he did turn back to God and he repented of the evil that he'd done. And Psalm 51 is the expression of that repentance. This is important to note, I think, because sometimes preachers sin. They may, regrettably, they may be guilty of adultery, as in the case of David. Or they may have done other bad things. But a godly man will turn away from his evil. And if a preacher is caught in a scandal like that, it will certainly be a very painful experience for him and for the congregation. But if he's truly God-focused, truly godly and devout in his heart, he will repent of the sin and seek the forgiveness of God and of the congregation. He may have to quit preaching for a while. In some cases, that's probably a wise thing to do. But a godly preacher, even in that situation, by God's grace, will overcome it and be as effective as he was before the sin. I've seen that happen. And it's to God's grace and to the praise of his, it's to God's glory and to the praise of his grace, rather, when it does happen. But of course, it would be better if it didn't happen. And that's why Paul urges the young Timothy to train himself for godliness. He also tells him that he should set himself as an example before the believers in his speech, in his faith, in his conduct, in his love, and in his purity. It's important for preachers to be examples to the flock. It's important that people see in them a holy and godly life. It's important that people see in them Christ living in their heart, because this will inspire them and encourage them to live godly and holy before Almighty God. It will also make his work of preaching that much more effective because the people will gladly listen to him and receive his instruction. As I said, no one wants to listen to a hypocrite, even if he's preaching the truth. When people turn away from the truth in disgust over the preacher's conduct, then everybody is hurt spiritually. Souls are lost. Faith is shipwrecked. And the name of God is blasphemed, as we talked about earlier. A preacher will be both a blessing, or both be blessed and a blessing, if he makes godliness the goal of his life. If he's wholly devoted to God in his heart. We mentioned David earlier, described by God as a man after his heart. Consider his son Solomon, who started out this way, but did not finish that way. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Preachers must guard against having divided affections. One of the big temptations for preachers, as it is for all Christians, is the love of money. And if a preacher is concerned first and foremost about money, then he's susceptible to compromising the truth. If he's afraid to preach the truth to the congregation because he's afraid they'll react negatively to it, and therefore he risks losing his position, risks losing the big salary and the lifestyle that comes with it, then he will tailor his message to tickle their ears. And so truth is compromised. And that doesn't help anybody get to heaven. I knew, or had a good preacher friend who unfortunately was fired from the large congregation where he preached. And as far as I know, he didn't preach anything in error, didn't preach anything unscriptural, but for whatever reason, the elders of that congregation asked him to leave. And this was a church that could pay him a very handsome salary and furnish him a home for his family to live in. And so he had to leave, and he went to another congregation, a smaller congregation, that could not pay him the same salary and could not furnish him a home to live in, so he had to find one on his own. I think he ended up renting a house for a while. And his wife had to work part-time to help support the family. But he kept on preaching. He never backed down from proclaiming the truth of God. Such men are rare. And I'm telling you these things. Because it would serve you well to find such a man who preaches the truth without apology. And he's not afraid to lose his position. He's not afraid what people are going to say. If he's preaching the truth of God, he takes his stand on that. And that will help you as a church. That will help you in your personal walk of faith with the Lord. If you would have someone like that to be a preacher. It's easy to fall in love with a preacher for all the wrong reasons. Superficial reasons. The way he looks, the way he talks, his education, his background, his style of preaching, whatever. Those are things that may aid him or may not aid him in his preaching. a matter of personal judgment. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is a man who's faithful to God and faithful to the truth and is unafraid to proclaim it. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. And so that's the kind of man that you want. And I'll tell you, it takes a godly man to be that way. A man who is devoted to his Lord. And so, I'll just quickly go over these last 2 points, because our time's getting away. But Paul also asks, or tells Timothy that he should be someone who is devoted to teaching, to exhortation, to public reading of Scripture. I think someone who preaches ought to quote Scripture and read from the Scriptures abundantly, because he wants his message to have the authority of God behind it. And you can't do that if you don't refer to the source of that authority, which is God's Word. And so Paul says that he should devote himself to those things. And he should be someone who practices these things, that all may see your progress. You know, a preacher is a Christian too. He's a disciple of the Lord. And he has his struggles, and he has his temptations, and he has his personal problems to deal with and things to overcome in his life, and he needs to grow and mature just like everyone else. And so a man who preaches, who is devoted to the Word of God, to practicing the things that the Word of God teaches, that will help him, that his growth will be seen by all, and that will encourage the rest of the church. And so, I'm going to wrap this up because our time is getting away. And I hope I didn't lose you in this lesson.